The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Let's try this again. And we're back on The Blitz, hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to text the show, you can also get us on Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. Yeah. You can text the show. You know the number for that. We're out here at Prime Social watching a little poker action on Westheimer. Very easy to find. Come on out here and check it out. If you miss the first 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com. And really good stuff. A lot of football, a lot of betting, a lot of little poker talk with Lance Erline, little football talk with Lance Erline.
So. Yeah.
Been a fun show so far. Week's almost done, man. Let's finish strong. Do we have RJ yet? Okay, so no RJ.
Boy, he's too famous.
Yeah. Well, while we're waiting on him, dust in the wind for my former high school classmate, Jeff Bannister, with the Rangers today. So,
I mean, the good thing is he's made some good money.
Yeah, yeah. There's that.
But the bad news is I don't think he's going to get another job anytime soon.
No, not as a manager. I mean, I'm sure he can get a bench coach role or something like that. And you know, it kind of saw the writing on the wall there this year. That team was they've kind of got and I don't blame him. I think that front office has slowly dismantled that team from what was a really good group. And I don't know that anybody was going to win with them, but that's a shame. So. Maybe he'll wind up somewhere with the Astros here doing an assistant's job because those guys always leave every year.
Yeah.
But, 713-780-ESPN. 832 says, can't recall the last time I missed RJ live, but this Beto debate is important. Is that going on now?
I think it is.
I think there's another one coming up in town here, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We should go.
Well, my wife wants to go.
It's at U of H.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, but they're not letting the public go.
Are you saying I'm the public?
I think it's like U of H students or something like that.
What? Really?
But that's what I saw on Twitter.
Huh. Oh, well, that's not good.
Well, I feel like we're the media, so we should get to go.
Well, I feel we're very famous.
Yeah.
I feel like having the number one sports show in the city is kind of a big deal. We should be allowed in there. I'll even wear a Ted Cruz t-shirt.
I want to see that.
Okay. All right. So let's go to the gambling guru of the universe in his new time, founder of pregame.com, multimedia superstar. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Our good friend RJ Bell. What's happening, RJ?
Well, let me tell you guys, there's not many shows I jump off the air and get right on. But Fred and AJ is one of them.
And that's why we appreciate you so much. How's that new show going?
I got to be honest with you. It's 1 hour, right, on Fox, 6 to 7 Eastern, so 5 to 6 with you guys. So I guess we're competing in a way, but let's be honest, not really. And I love it because it's only an hour. It's almost like one of our segments, right? Almost an hour.
Just an hour, yeah.
It goes by so fast. We always got more than we wanted to put, you know, like stuff we didn't get in. And I love that because a lot of radio shows, and let's be candid, you guys are not one of them. That's why you're one of the leaders in Houston. But it feels like they're just like, hey, did you eat pizza last night? Yeah, tell us about it. The new pepperoni's good. Like, they're all just trying to kill segments. But if you only have an hour, you got to just be action, action, action.
Balls to the wall.
Yeah, that's why I always had fun with that pregame line we did last year, because it was only an hour. You didn't have time to BS, man. If you were going to dig into stuff, it was all good stuff. So I'm gonna check out the podcast and see how you're doing there.
I'll take some professional advice from you guys.
I think you're doing okay. I don't think you need any advice from us.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this last week. I don't think we did. I don't know, maybe. But Fred and AJ on that pod, I got so much. We did a boxing pod, and we got so much positive feedback. And again, I don't know boxing. You guys really killed it. I mean, to know UFC, to know boxing like that, most talk guys don't. So kudos.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That was fun to do.
Yeah.
So
what
are you, speaking of that, if you don't mind me asking, I talked to the two guys I trust the most in UFC. One said the Russian, as I call him, because I'm not a professional broadcaster. And the other one said McGregor. I'm seeing minus 150 plus 130 with a Russian favorite. Who do you like?
I like Khabib. I've liked him from the moment they thought about having this fight. I expect, though, that you'll be able to get a better number than 150 once all those crazy Irishmen get to Vegas.
Now, do you think the fact that the UFC would be very motivated for McGregor to win, a la Canelo, and the fact that it would seem that, I guess maybe let me ask it that way. You think McGregor has an advantage if it goes the distance?
RJ, no. The simple answer is no. The way they fight stylistically, there's almost no chance it goes the distance and McGregor wins. Like, I think McGregor by decision is probably the least likely outcome. McGregor by knockout, possible. Khabib by decision, possible. And his last fight, he won. Judges' scorecards were 50-43, which is just absurd. When he wins, it's not close. And this is a guy who, RJ, has never lost a round. He's 26-0. He's never lost a round in an MMA fight. He's never been knocked down. I mean, this is he is a force of nature. And Conor McGregor is dangerous to him because he can end a fight with one punch. But I think there's 0% chance Conor McGregor can win a decision.
Why did McGregor take this fight?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I know this guy is renowned with the aficionados, the Russian, but it's not like some, you know, they couldn't have made just a bigger fight against someone McGregor had a better chance against.
It got a little bit personal, I think, because I'm sure you've seen the video of Conor McGregor throwing the dolly. Where that came from was Khabib cornered Artem Lobov, who's a training partner of Conor, and slapped him in the face and just kind of punked him out. And it pissed Conor off, so I think it got Conor a little bit emotional, which is usually the opposite of the way things work. Usually it's Conor getting other guys emotional, and in this case it was the other way around.
So almost like Mr. T in Rocky III?
A little bit like that. That's a good reference, yeah.
Woman. Remember?
That's actually a pretty good reference.
All right, well let's get to some football, and I thought you had a pretty fascinating tweet earlier today about the Broncos and their last 10 road games. 1-9 straight up, 1-9 against the spread, and I think AJ and I are both on the Ravens this week. That's partially the reason, but why do you think that is? Obviously last year they weren't very good, but is 1-9, is that enough for a trend?
Well, I think because Denver's so good at home early in the year, and I mean, this is a trend we just uncovered, and it's been making the round. You know how the trends go once it gets out there. Is last 30 years, three decades, Denver playing at home in week one or week two. So early in the season, 33-3 straight up. The rationale is altitude's a problem in general. It's more of a problem early in the year because early in the year, the opponents aren't in as good a shape. And Denver's used to it, right? They train up there at the altitude. So to me, the fact that Denver's 2-0, quite frankly, in two coin flip games, I would make the case if you were to pick Denver's low point in the fourth quarter of both the games, meaning when did Denver have the least chance to win late in each of those games, I would say Denver was what, less than 20% against Oakland at a certain point, and we're probably about 40% against Seattle at a certain point. So the fact they won both of those is just good luck. I mean, give them credit, but there is a certain amount of randomness to that. Now they're 2-0, and now you've got Flacco in Baltimore early in the year. That's his best spot. If you look at him in that spot, Flacco is mighty good historically in September at home, and he tends to get beat up as the year progresses. He's not mobile, and things drop off. He's 16-2 straight up in September, Flacco is. 13-5 against the spread. 31 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. The Ravens, when they have 10 days rest or 9-plus days rest under Harbaugh, 16-5 straight up, 14-7 against the spread. Harbaugh prepares well with extra time. It's the time of year for Flacco. Baltimore's off a loss, so they're mad. And Broncos are 2-0 with two big advantages at home in coin flip games because of the altitude. Man, this is like the – and then when you look at, Fred, what you brought up, the Broncos in a road game, last 10, 1-9 straight up, 1-9 against the spread. It really makes you think this is like the trend game of the day on the Ravens. Fezzik, our number one NFL guy, likes the Ravens as one of his best bets.
Well, I feel like the last 2 weeks when we've asked you about the Texans, you've been pro-Texan, but 6.5 points now I'm seeing as they take on the Giants. How do you see this one going, man?
We have a fun feature on our podcast. I bought a green button. It's about the size of like three decks of cards, and it makes the cash register sound, right? Cha-ching. Uh-huh. And anytime one of the guys on the podcast likes a game, anyone can fade him for $200 by pressing the button. Well, I finally am against the Texans. Fezzik, who, listen, I don't like betting against Fezzik, but I will. He says he still has the Texans as the 11th best team in the league, wow. If you can believe it. I think that's absurd. I think the O-line's a problem. I think that O'Brien, you got to wonder about how solid he is. And we talked with Greg Cosell about this, and he says, listen, he's not looking downfield. I don't know if it's Watson's not 100% yet or if he's just freaked out by the rush. But when they get around his feet, he's running. But the key is he's not looking downfield. I think that we got to reevaluate Watson. Let's give AJ some credit. I was all on Watson playing as well as anyone during last year, and he made a point, hey, limited sample size. Let me pose a thought experiment to you two. Imagine you had never heard of Watson, and today someone shows you his stats. So instead of having an amazing last year, a whole off season to think about it and talk about it, and then two games in 8 days to make you reconsider. Imagine if you just looked at his whole career so far in its entirety. How different would the take on Watson be?
Well, are we just talking about these two games being his career?
No, what I'm saying is if you looked at his entire career from today's perspective, without considering last year separately like we did in the offseason, wouldn't you say, hey, he's showing flashes, he's had some good games, but boy, he's hit or miss?
Yeah, I think for me, though, it's still coming off the injury that he doesn't quite I think that's impacted him mentally, and I also think he's not getting any help from his coach, whose offense looks a lot like it did when Tom Savage was in there. And all the plays that they ran last year, and this has been a big topic all week, all the misdirection, all the screens, the rollouts, all of that is missing. And maybe that's because they're worried about his knee. Maybe it's just because Bill O'Brien's a complete tool. But all those plays that worked last year, we haven't seen any of them. And those were the plays where he was making, you know, throwing the ball downfield, keeping things alive, turning short passes into long ones. And we're not seeing any of that. So I don't know how much of it's on him, how much of it's on his coach. He did look better the second half last week, other than the play at the end, which I don't think was going to make a difference in the game anyway. But I do think he looked a lot better in the second half of that Titans game.
Yeah, I lean Giants. I put a little bet on it. I got +110, so because of the odds at the time. But I certainly don't like Houston here. If the Giants were questionable motivation, maybe. But they're 0-2. You know, they're 0-2 also. So
one of my favorite games this week, and the numbers bouncing around. I feel good that I've gotten it at 7, but I like the Niners against the Chiefs this week. I think people are starting to sort of overlook the defensive problems that the Chiefs have. And I keep expecting San Francisco to explode offensively. I like the over in this game as well, but I really feel like San Francisco getting a touchdown. Maybe we're starting to overvalue the start that Kansas City's had.
I agree. I again, sharp. It's one of my couple, you know, three or four best bets of the week. And I also think not only is Kansas City being priced at their very best, meaning – they're being priced like this is the team they really are, the best offense in football. And it's hard to imagine they're going to be that all year with a rookie quarterback. Now, maybe, but we know historically it doesn't happen. And I know he's not a rookie, but, you know, first year playing. And then, on the other hand, I think the 49ers, did either of you guys watch the replay or the game, Minnesota-San Fran week one?
Yes.
Is it fair to say San Fran had at least a 50% chance to win that game if there weren't dropped touchdowns, pick sixes? I mean, things that just are, yeah, you could say pick six happens because a team's good or bad or the other team's bad. Nah, there's a lot of luck, you know. And watching that game, Minnesota winning by 8, I think was a deceiving score. Would you agree with that?
I do agree. I think the game was closer than the final score would tell you.
And I think that San Fran won more easily against the Lions in the final score. So I think you've got Kansas City. We're selling them as high as they're going to be, perhaps, likely. And then we're taking San Fran a little cheaper. That's the definition of value. I agree with the 49ers.
Do you get that same feel with Seattle and Dallas? I like Seattle. I know Fred loves Seattle this week. You're getting people. I mean, Seattle's coming off a bad loss on national TV. Dallas coming off of a big win on national TV. You know, when you're talking about buy low, sell high, it's hard to imagine buying much lower on Seattle or getting much higher than Dallas is right now. And I've got Seattle at home giving 1.5. It just seems like a really fair number right now.
How many years have we been doing this segment?
Four-ish?
More than that.
Five?
No, it's been about
maybe
six.
My work's done because you're giving me my handicap back, and I forgot to send you my notes this week, so I know you're not reading my notes.
I'm not reading notes.
I mean, Seattle's one of the top three or four home teams. When they're playing well, they're the top home team. The crowd noise is the key for them. Dallas is going to bring up the fans, even though it's 0-2. Seattle was in Denver in that coin flip game with the disadvantage early in the year. And Seattle was driving against the Bears, and it wasn't as bad as it seemed. So they probably shouldn't have won that game. The margin was probably a little deceiving. And now the Lions pretty much just win the game? That means Dallas has to be clearly better. I don't think so. Russell Wilson's a top-5 quarterback, and I don't know, other than a rare exception, I don't think top-5 quarterbacks in the NFL go worse than 8-8. So if Seattle's an 8-8 type team, is Dallas clearly better than that? I don't think so. Only pause, I heard today, the safety Thomas has a family emergency or something, and there's some uncertainty around his prep or even playing. He's been, based on Pro Football Focus, the best safety in football. So I would wait, if you're going to bet Seattle, to see he's going to play.
You mentioned quarterbacks, top five quarterbacks, and I think you got a couple guys who at one point or another have been in that conversation. Probably not in that conversation right at the moment, but Colts and Philly with Carson Wentz coming back. I think if you can get a 7, that's a really nice number on the Colts, because I think Andrew Luck is poised to turn back into old Andrew Luck. He looks healthy, and I feel like Carson Wentz in his first game back is going to be at least limited, which is also why I kind of like the under in this game as well. What are your thoughts on Indy Philly?
I agree with half your handicap. I think Wentz is probably a week early. I think if they were 2-0, they wouldn't be starting Wentz this week. And because of that, I think he might be less than 100% physically, but I know they're going to be conservative, the Eagles are, in their play calling. So that makes me think I don't want to bet Philly. On the other hand, what you're saying about Andrew Luck, I disagree with. I think he looked fine in week one against the Bengals. Coin flip game. They lost. But he was ranked advanced metrics 27th, Andrew Luck, last week. I know it's one game, but when you play and dominate the Skins and you're one of the bottom five quarterbacks, I mean, I'm just pausing and I'm not sure yet about Luck's health. That's why my bet here, and I've bet it, is under 47.5. Because we've got two big-name quarterbacks, but I think they're both limited in their own way right now, with Wentz double limited, maybe physically, but certainly play-calling-wise and his willingness to run right now. I mean, do you have any doubt the coaches are saying, hey, Carson, relax. If you don't see it, throw it away. And if that's the case, you got to like the under.
I was noticing something else you tweeted out involving the Saints earlier this week and their record getting off to a starter. What do you think of that Saints Falcons game? And I'm not sure what to make of the Falcons, but I kind of think that I don't know if they got right last week entirely, but you know, obviously a pretty big game now for the Saints being 0-2 already.
Oh, remember Saints 1-1. They almost
1-1 beat the Browns.
Yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
Not covering against the Browns feels like a loss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it does. Listen, as
exactly.
A Steelers fan, it felt like a loss, too, against the Browns at the tie. So what I would say is this. I'll make this one simple. I can't bet Atlanta because they're too injured. I was just on Atlanta ESPN today for my weekly segment, and they're saying this is the most injured they've seen this team. Not all the big names, but guys that matter, cluster injuries. And I think the Saints, You gotta wonder if Ingram is bigger than they thought. Because what you're seeing is, with Kamara, is that they're putting guys in the box much more than they usually did. Last year, and this actually came from the Ringer, Kamara faced less guys in the box than any other running back, or maybe he was second. This year, he's facing the second most guys in the box, which is making it really hard to run. When he's not the changeup back, he's having trouble. Whatever's going on, the Saints are a big question mark to me. You lose as a 9-point dog to Tampa, and then as a 9-point favorite, you lose, and then you should have lost as a 9-point favorite the second week in a row. I mean, it's so much so Fred thinks they lost. I don't want any part of either team this week.
RJ, one of the last one I want to ask you about, this Rams-Chargers game, Fred and I were talking about it, and man, it really seems like giving up a touchdown feels really good with the Rams. Like I think the Rams are the best team in the league right now. They seem like they don't have any holes on offense or defense. The Chargers have looked meh. I think they've looked way less than I would have thought they would at the beginning of the season. The only reason I'm not buying into it is because I feel like maybe I don't want to overreact and downgrade the Chargers too much from what I thought they were at the beginning of the season. But when you're talking about 7 and 7.5, I was more afraid of it. 7, it's almost like it's begging me to jump on it. What's your handicap on that Rams-Chargers game?
I've never seen a team surge in popularity, Vegas style, with less impressive wins than the Rams. Now, in the way, it's impressive that they won easily. But when you beat the Raiders and you beat the Cardinals, I mean, what? That's the 24th best team and the 31st?
Yeah. Cardinals 31st for sure, but with only Buffalo ahead. Raiders, yes. I think mid-20s is very fair.
All right. So I get it. To dominate any NFL team is an accomplishment. But a month ago, or literally 3 weeks ago, you could have had the Rams at 13-1 to win the Super Bowl. Now they're 5-1. They're the favorite. It's like everyone woke up and said, man, they got an all-star team. Well, you didn't know that a month ago?
Could that maybe be more of a downgrade on some of the other teams we've seen, like New England,
you don't
the Saints?
See that kind of surge like that. And you don't downgrade Minnesota yet. I mean, I hear you. The Pats are a little down maybe, but you got a KC that we didn't expect to be this good. So, I mean, KC's clearly the second. I mean, if you let me pick, if you pick the Patriots and said, okay, I've got them in the East, you get number two. I mean, is there any doubt you're taking KC over Pittsburgh now? I hear you, maybe, but boy, it doesn't go from 13-5.
I might take Jacksonville before I take either.
Say it again?
I might take Jacksonville before I take either of those teams.
Well, that's true. Jacksonville certainly looked better than we expected. So I think in two games, you're always going to have the teams that look better and the teams that look worse. I think the Rams are going to be a good front-running team. Meaning, if everything goes right, they could have a 14-2 win the Super Bowl season. But if things start going wrong, there's a reason Kansas City traded Peters. There's a reason Tlaib's gone. These guys are cast-offs. This is like that movie, The Magnificent Seven. And maybe they all come together, and maybe they don't. But right now, it feels like they're together. And right now, I think McVay might be the second-best coach in the league. So I'm not. I actually had Arizona last week, and I'm not anxious against the Rams. I'm not anxious to bet against the Rams right now. And I think the Chargers, I tell you this, when year after year you lose close games after close games, at some point it's no longer luck. There's a fundamental problem. And I think this Chargers team has a fundamental problem winning games.
I want to ask you about one more before we let you go. This Viking spread is ridiculous. I'm seeing 16.5 on pregame right now. What do you do with a spread like this? I mean, it's just begging you to bet the Bills, right?
Here we go, guys. Professional tip. You can get more of this at RJ in Vegas. Fred and AJ don't do too much promotion, so I'll have to jump in and do it.
After I just said I'm looking at it on pregame.com.
Where was that 20 minutes ago?
No, that was 5 seconds ago as I was talking about this spread.
I'm going to ESPN back next week. and I can hear you better. We're on the landline here. My apologies. You guys are going to like this. I'm betting, and I haven't gotten it yet, Bills plus 17, parlayed, two-teamer, with the under. Now, okay, if a super sharp bookie won't let you do it, because whenever you have
a that'll be a low-limit bet.
There's a correlation between that team covering and the under, and the reason is, the less points that are scored, the more valuable those 17 points are. The under is 41. And imagine, if the Bills cover, aren't the odds 55-60% the game goes under?
Yes.
And if so, the two-teamer, because this is a likely shootout. And here's the key to the whole handicap, guys. Biggest Thursday night game, perhaps, of the last 5 years. It's Minnesota against the Rams Thursday. So the question is, Minnesota's up 10, up 14, 10 minutes left. Is anyone going to be taking the air out of the ball more in this team? Because they're going to want to have as few plays as possible if they got this game locked up, because they got a big game in 4 days. So,
in all honesty, I think that I believe in what you're saying. And that's why if I'm going to do anything on this game, I'm going to wait and see if the Vikings have a 10-point lead at halftime. I'll be on the second half under, because I don't think the Bills are going to score against the Vikings, and I think the Vikings are going to be as vanilla as they can be in the second half. I think they want to make sure they get this win, but then they're going to be on cruise control.
No, I agree. I think in game's a good option too. Most people don't bet in game, and I think this correlated parlay offers a good bit of value too, but I agree with you.
Yeah, and one more reason I'm on the under is second half last week when The head coach took over the defensive play calling. The Bills only allowed 65 yards, and I think he's going to be calling plays again.
RJ, you know, you mentioned that in your parlay, the correlation between the under and the big spread. I mean, we're talking like that's like 41% of the total is the spread, which is that just seems crazy to me.
Did I hear your calculator? Were you hitting your phone while we were talking?
I did check it on my phone when we were talking. I knew it was about 40. I mean, I wanted to make sure it's 41.
You're
41%.
Right. In the colleges, they probably wouldn't let you bet this, but they're not used to the NFL having such a low total and such a big spread, so a lot of books will let you. So it's,
okay.
I promise, no guaranteed winners, especially with a 50 wins you 130 type payoff on a two-teamer. But what I can tell you is you'll be with a lot of sharp bettors if you play the Bills and under, especially if you get 17.
Right.
All right, that's RJ Bell.
You did great. How's your show been going?
I got to be honest, I'm excited. I think it's going well. And, you know, we don't have a Fox station in Houston, so no competition. But I tell you, we podcast every day. And if you like this segment, I think you'll like this.
All right, follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Check out pregame.com. There's all kinds of great stuff on there. Great. Enjoyed it, my man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All righty.
All right, guys. Let me tell you about Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. It is Gulfgate time. And you're looking for that new Ram truck. You're thinking, man, it's time for me to step it up, make a change. Gulfgate's your savings headquarters Monday through Friday, every Sunday. Go out there. They've got the best, the largest Ram inventory in the loop. And during Ram Power Days out at Gulfgate, you can lease the all-new 2019 Ram Lone Star for only $394 a month. How about that? Guys, they've got, like I said, they've got the biggest inventory, whatever color, whatever options you're looking for, they're going to have you covered. They've got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open twice the size to service twice the vehicles by certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, and always open online at gulfgatedodge.com. 2019 Ram Lone Star, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, 1,000 due at signing, tax, title, and registration additional. See dealer for details. That's Gulfgate Dodge.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at Prime Social. Looking for a little poker game. This is your place. Got lots of cash action going on right now. 14-0 UCF leading Florida Atlantic. And Florida Atlantic had to resort to the fourth down fake punt to get a first down.
Whatever it takes, just get those points on the board, man.
I hope you didn't wind up taking them.
I didn't.
Okay.
No, I just said I'm just going to sit back and hope for numbers. And it's sad when you get a 14-point first quarter and you're still not on pace.
Yeah.
Like, normally that's good, but not tonight. I'm going to need 20 a quarter.
All right, we have one more giveaway for the people. So at 6:40, we'll take caller number 10. Finish out the summer with a trip. You'll win a $50 Hotel.com gift card. It'd save up to 40% with their end-of-summer sale. Rent hotels or cabins or lake houses or bed and breakfasts or beach resorts or ranch getaways or, well, you get the picture. As Captain Obvious says, nothing says Hotels.com like you do you. Like, quote that says Hotels.com lets you do you. Get all the info at Hotels.com. So there you have it.
What do you think of this story on SportsMap? I just read it about the Texans being able to turn it around fast. It makes it sound like there's not major problems there when there clearly is.
Yeah, I have a different opinion.
I hate this. They could have won both games. They only lost to the Patriots by 7. That's such a such a misconception of what the game was. They weren't close against the Patriots. They, No. And really, I mean, with the exception of like a maybe a 12-minute run, they weren't really close with the Titans. They finally started to play in the second half for a little while. But, yeah, I don't think this is a quick fix.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there has to be significant changes, and we've talked about it all week, and I need to see those changes starting this week. Because if I don't, then yeah, it will be tough to turn it around. But the schedule's pretty light here. There's winnable games if they can play better, but we need to see signs that they're going to. And frankly, you know, yeah, the Patriots game wasn't as close as the score would indicate, but the Titans game really shouldn't have been close either. They should have won that game pretty easily. So I don't know until they learn how to win again. You know, when you've lost eight in a row, it's we've seen it with teams before. It turns into habit. And
I mean, I get it.
Right, now they're in a losing habit.
It's like it's a glass half full article because they say all pro DeAndre Hopkins, it's still one of the best in the league, and Will Fuller is on fire. Will Fuller played one game.
He was on fire for that game.
Can you be on fire after one game?
Well, sure you can.
Oh, okay.
Sure you can.
Well,
you're trying to take a positive. See, this is you can't deal with this because it's positive. This is not part of your nature. You can't read a positive story from anybody.
Fred, it's a positive story about an 0-2 football team.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're putting a positive spin on it.
That's like if I introduced you to a girl with a really ugly face, but she only weighed 350 pounds. What kind of positive spin could I give you on that?
Nice eyes. you can find something positive in everything.
Florida Atlantic touchdown. All right. Now we're on pace. On pace guy is happy now. Now Central Florida, go cram it right back down. Let's go. No, I just have a hard time finding. I understand trying to be somewhat optimistic. I mean, it's a rare thing to be able to make the playoffs once you start 0-2. You know, the Texans have done it. It's not easy, and I don't think they're going to be able to win their division this year. They're not playing in the worst division in the league like they were a couple of years ago.
It would take a turnaround and significant injuries for the Jaguars, like significant.
Yeah.
Which can't happen. We've seen it. We saw it happen to the Texans last year. But after – and again, 2 weeks is not enough to really judge what a team's going to be.
It's not.
And I really need 4 or 5 weeks with this team, but they have to make
– You can agree that if they find a way to lose this game, the season is going to unravel and fall apart.
They're in big trouble. I mean, there's no question. But, you know, I think they – well, they almost have to win this game because if you can't beat the crappy-ass Giants at home, then – I don't know that I look at anywhere on your schedule and say I feel good about this. So
I'm going through the league and I'm looking at the 0-2 teams, and I'm trying to think if the people in those markets are trying to spin a positive on their 0-2s. Like, do you think in Buffalo they're trying to spin it to the positive?
No.
Do you think?
Well, the positive is that okay, once Josh Allen gets it figured out, we'll be better.
What about Oakland?
Well, we got John Gruden, man. He's great. He's going to turn it around. I can give you one for everybody.
I know, but do you really think they're doing that?
Yeah, I'm sure there are people doing that.
Do you think they're doing that with the Giants?
New York's a different market, no.
Do you think they're doing that in Arizona?
Well, just wait till Josh Rosen gets in there. That's the thing you get to look forward to.
You think they're doing that in Seattle?
Seattle is probably a just wait till we get back home. The team will be good at home.
Detroit? It's just like every year. We're 0-2.
Yeah, there's nothing new here. We start off 0-2, we'll finish 9-7.
Yeah, I just feel like it's I don't know. I can't picture doing radio in those markets with what I've seen so far and going, yeah, the Lions, they're still a playoff team. I don't know. The Giants, any of these teams. The Bills, obviously. Bills and Cardinals, that's a lot.
Yeah,
lost cause.
I think realistically those fan bases are looking at that saying, oh, we don't have a chance.
But, you know, some of these other teams – the Texans fall into this group. The Texans, the Lions, the Raiders that had higher expectations of what this year would be. To start 0-2, it's a real kick in the junk. And even Seattle, I think they didn't expect to be 0-2. I think Seattle fan probably knew that it wasn't going to be 14-2, walk to the Super Bowl. But I don't think they expected to be down to where they are right now.
Well, the one thing is, though, the Seahawks haven't lost a home game. The Texans haven't lost a home game.
No.
I think that's when your season starts unraveling, is when you lose games at home early in the season and get off to a bad start. Because the bottom line is, if you hold serve at home, you're going to be a 500 team, and then you just need to go
but
get
since
one.
When are the Texans a great home team?
Well,
I mean, with Seattle, I can understand that because they have historically been a great home team. Texans haven't.
No, but they're better at home than they are on the road. So, again, until you lose a home game, which may be this week, I'm not going to start panicking as far as the season coming apart. But if you go 0-3 and lose to this team, it's not a good look. And plus, that also means that your offense has not come around at all, that you didn't do anything differently than what you did last week. And, you know, they need to get off to a faster start. And their defense needs to actually make some plays. I mean, it's not all just about Deshaun Watson, the offense.
Right.
I mean, that defense needs to force
defense
some turnovers.
Defense is what kept the team in games last year. It's what carried them in 2015. I'm with you. I think expectations are higher for them.
Yeah, and a lot depends on, you know, you were counting on, oh, we're going to be better when Whitney Mercilus is back. Well, you're not, because he's not back. He may be on the field, but he's not back. You know, Clowney, 0 in week 1, negative in week 2, and he wasn't even on the field. So those are things that have to start working for you. Because if they come up with two stops at the end of the game last week, we're talking about, well, they didn't look good, but they got the win.
Yeah.
It's a totally different narrative. All right.
Although I'd still think we'd be saying, ugh, that was a nail-biter against a team missing their starting tackles and their starting quarterback.
Yeah, and boy, they let that be a lot closer than they should have because they were totally unprepared for the start of the game.
But I wouldn't be feeling like they're a total lost cause.
Yeah.
I'm really close to feeling that way about them now.
I'm not there yet, but again, that's why you have to watch more games and get more data and make your decision then. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Zumos. If you're looking to do some grilling this weekend and watch some football, Zumos is the way to go. They've got so many great products that I absolutely love. And Zumos has been in business since 1908. They got started in Beaumont. They're all over Houston now, and they've got the Party Time sausage, which is fantastic. It's been passed down from generation to generation, made from the highest quality ingredients, perfectly blended spices, then hickory smoked for 4 hours for a truly genuine southern taste. How about the Zumos Boudin? Man, if you haven't tried their Boudin, it is fantastic. And then the Andouille sausage, truly authentic Cajun-style sausage and different flavors. Whatever you want, Zumos has it, and I'm telling you, it's going to change your weekend. And you can use that Party Time sausage for all kinds of things. I put it with eggs for breakfast and put it on homemade pizza, things like that. And you can find all the Zumos products at your local grocery stores. All you have to do is look for Zumos. That's Zumos. You can find them at HEB. You can find them in Kroger. You can find them in Fiesta. And go pick up a package. Grill them up. Let me know what you think. Because I promise you, you're going to love it. That's Zumos. Zumos. Make it a Zumos weekend.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Somebody texted the show, John, to say, hello, I won these Skeeter tickets and was trying to get them but can't get in the door downstairs. Don't you have to get that by 5 o'clock? Isn't that the deal?
I think so.
Well, somebody's downstairs, so just so you know. All right, let's do stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said this week. John was impressed that I put that whole sandwich away on the break there, but it was only a 6-inch.
I mean, you scarfed that 6-incher.
Yeah, well, I can handle 6 inches, believe me.
Got a lot of practice.
Yeah, that foot long, a little out of my league.
These robot brothels might be legal in 49 states.
Which state has banned them?
Alabama.
Wait, yeah. So you can sleep with your cousins, but you can't sleep with
That's
sex robots?
That's Arkansas.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, you're confusing your A states.
Now I have to deal with my daughter on Twitter, which, God, I haven't even...
It's different for its own reasons.
Yeah.
Bothersome for its own reasons.
I haven't even checked that lately.
I haven't either.
I'm scared. Twitter, pinned tweet. She says, me, men are trash. Also me, quoting Oscar the Grouch. I love trash.
Mm.
Jerry Brook will be topless next week. We're also going to be charging a subscription fee by then for the live stream. So,
well, I can guarantee you that won't happen. No.
We'll have one of those made of you, and we'll paste your head on it.
So have one of those on me, going to have a picture of me, and you're not going to find anything but fully clothed photos.
It's 2018. We all have Photoshop.
Code red.
Quit ruining my business plan.
Code red.
I was going to share all this money with you, and now look what you're doing. You're driving off our business.
I'm going to bring some class to this show.
Oh, no.
Good luck. Yeah, start talking to Charlie Polillo. When we get to this week, I'm like, damn, Yogi Berra died, and that makes me sad.
Is it weird that the only thing I can think about him now is the Yao Ming commercial? Yogi, Yao, Yogi. See, that's the only thing I remember.
I think
him
of
now.
The Aflac commercial. If you get sick, it doesn't hurt to get sick.
Meanwhile, this guy was like a league MVP, and that's what you guys remember him for.
Yogi,
like a Hall of Fame baseball player.
Yeah. Got
like,
Yao,
like more rings than anybody.
Look who just walked into the studio, Barry.
Who's that?
AJ.
Hey, how's the Chuckle Hut?
Chuckling away.
I just want to shut my mic off and let you guys do a show together because the people have been clamoring for this.
Yeah.
You guys have fun and do the blitz.
If Barry's quiet, the quality of the audio is going to go up about 1,000%.
Kiss my ass.
It's like
there's nothing wrong with this.
What?
Oh, my God. I hate you. It sounds perfect.
We lost Barry.
No, you didn't.
Sorry.
Talking smack. I mean, the guy's here like 10% of the time.
I know.
Jadeveon Clowney's on the field more than he is. You got to see this. Barry is Clowney.
Not Jong, he's a rich.
Do you have like a...
He has an estate.
Like stately Wayne Manor?
Exactly.
Do you have a ward too? Like, do you have a Robin?
Yeah.
Wobbin.
Yeah. Stupid stuff we've said this week.
Oh, good stuff this week. Been a fun week, man, and fun to wrap it up out here at Prime Social. I think we're out a couple places next week. I know Thursday we're going to be at Bombshells in Pearland. I think Wednesday we're at the Hyatt. Is that correct, Jong?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I read your notes. See? I'm getting good at that. So we'll be out a couple times next week. Want to thank Prime for having us out here tonight. That's going to wrap it up, man. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Doing anything fun or just the usual?
I'm going to that concert tonight and then baseball this weekend.
Yeah.
The usual.
All right. Want to thank RJ Bell for joining us. Want to thank Lance Erline for dropping by and regaling us with his poker tales and football. Great job by Jong Lee back in studio. Great job by AJ Hoffman today. You know what? I didn't suck today for a Friday. Hope everybody has an awesome weekend. We will see you guys back on Monday. Till then, stay sporty, bitches. Bye.